Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Let the shenanigans begin.
Someone says, Thrill, you should look into getting plasticized. Can you, Mike, see if I can get plasticized?
Plasticized.
Yeah, so you're not being taxidermied. You're kind of splitting hairs a little bit. I'm just saying, like, yeah. At that point, what do you
I
have
mean,
to lose?
Just the Mike? Same like as a wax figure.
Exactly, like except it's me.
Yes, someone can be plastinated, a process that involves replacing bodily fluids with fat and resins, silicone rubbers, and epoxy to preserve the body.
Yeah.
Typically used for medical purposes and public display, and the resulting specimens are called plastinates.
And it's like the body's exhibit, right? When you go there, granted, they have stripped off all their skin, but that's basically what they do. They're resined. And they're taking out the body.
Maybe you could be like a, you know, like if you're standing at attention, you could be like a coat rack or like a place to put your hat.
So I'm saying I could come in
handy.
Would
you do it like Han Solo?
No, I'd want to look useful, like Miles said, man. So maybe if I got my hands out and you hang your coats on it or hang the hats or whatever it is, or like my wife likes to sew.
I'll just put my hat on your head.
So she could be like, instead of buying the sewing dummy, like, babe, just use me. You got a 6'4" frame, you know, whatever you're making. Someone else, let's say, you can be composted. Yeah, I know. Someone here says,
would you eat the vegetables from a garden that was composted by a person you knew? All right.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't eat vegetables. Somebody else says, my wife, she wants to be taxidermied and then passed down through the family.
Ew.
So I like where
or crowd serve a concert.
Oh, that would be like go to your favorite band.
Yeah.
Thrill, I would bury you in a garden and grow nothing but vegetables on you, bud.
You know, none of those vegetables
broccoli,
would grow.
No. Brussels sprouts,
none of
they
them.
Wouldn't come up.
They just wouldn't grow. They would turn black. They would shrivel up.
This tastes like Jack Daniels.
What wasn't your responsibility but became your responsibility? 206-803 Rob.
Is this an authentic Thrill heirloom? It's got that whiskey taste. And my nose is running a lot.
Tastes like Marlboro cigarettes.
Hello, Chase. Welcome to the men's room.
It's called smoked.
Hey, sorry. I don't speak Spanish.
No.
All right.
Nice. So my wife was driving me to the urgent care the umpteenth time. I'm kind of an invalid. And I see this guy in obvious distress. He's bawling, walking down the street. I yell at her to stop the car. She thinks I'm dying. I get out, and it's that he had tried to shoplift from Target. The loss prevention caught him, and he took a nasty spill and dislocated his shoulder so bad, I think he tore the muscle. It was just hanging off. And so I'm trying to get him some help. He's worried that he's going to get caught, and I'm going to turn him in. I'm like, priorities, man.
Right.
I can't imagine the pain he was in. So I just helped him across the street, got him to the hardware store, and miraculously, you know, when one person steps in, suddenly a whole bunch of other people want to help. So just got to a chair, got him waiting for an ambulance, and went on my way.
To the hospital.
Yeah, get him to the hospital.
No, didn't you say you were going to the hospital?
I was going to the urgent care clinic.
Okay.
Completely different, yeah.
Well, still,
why didn't you put him in the car with you? I mean, for what his situation is, you know, like, hey, man.
Dude, I'm on my way there.
Yeah, we found him along the way. What was wrong with you? Why were you going?
Oh, I'm missing a colon. I had an ileostomy, Crohn's disease, all kinds of stuff.
All the good intestinal stuff, right?
All right.
The thing is, he made it really far away from Target. Tons of people had driven by. I don't even know how he got away after he took that spill. Because his arm was just dangling.
Based on the corporate policy, I bet you the loss prevention officer / security guard was like, my job's done.
Yeah.
He injured himself. I'm messing with this guy. By the way, we're talking about what to do when you die. Text came in. It says, my step-uncle has to put his mom on ice in the bed of his truck and drive her from Utah to Washington State so she can be buried in the family plot.
Huh.
There's got to be an easier way.
Yeah.
I mean, just a ticket on an airline that's a freight charge.
If you tell them what you're
right, they fly bodies.
Yeah, you don't need to fill a pickup truck full of ice to stick your mom in there and drive. to pull you over.
I mean, like, I don't even know if you could.
What? I mean, I don't think it's legal, but...
I feel like once you call in that there's a death or something, like, they take that body pretty quick. Like, I don't think you just be cruising around with, like, a dead body in your pickup truck.
Well, no, you can't. I mean, but, like, someone dies in your home,
right,
and it's not unexpected, okay? So, you know, great-grandmother or something... Who do you call? Do you just call the funeral home first? Yeah. There's no one else you need to call initially. Like, that's your
first. I mean, I recommend calling the authorities to...
Well, I mean, they had natural cause, a heart attack, they were old, you know, something like that. You call the cops first?
That's what we did, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Cops showed up.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying, like, maybe get the ambulance there so they can confirm, and then everything is...
And like, the cops came in, and they were like, we need to take some pictures real quick, make sure that everything's kosher in there, because they weren't, you know, they weren't there when she died.
When she died,
so
sure.
They have to make sure that nothing nefarious happened there.
Right, and the authorities don't know the medical history.
Right,
like, my dad was in a hospice place. He'd been in there for 2 weeks. And then even after he passed, my brother, they were like, well, you still got to come and identify the body. And he's like... You took him downstairs to the morgue.
Right. But in the same building.
Yeah. Same building. Like, literally a floor below. But I'm pretty sure there's, like, legal steps you have to take. And, I mean, Mike, that's what he's saying. Like, you still got to call the authorities. Right. So, like, this guy being like, oh, my mom died. Let me just throw her on ice. Like,
you kind of need somebody official to go in there and say, yep, they're gone. And
they got
to
confirm it, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it occurred to me, like, I legitimately would not know who you're supposed to call, the chain of command first. Like, there's a dead body. No one killed him. Don't know what's
going on. I'm calling 911 and they dispatch whoever they get.
Yep.
That's my rule.
But what do you say? There's a dead body in my house.
I'm pretty sure this guy's dead. He doesn't have a pulse.
That's exactly what we did. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
I think my mom's dead.
What?
Okay.
Yeah. And honestly,
what's for dinner?
I think Michael attests too. Like, the funeral homes are pretty good about kind of walking you through every step of the way and what's going to happen next and this and that. I mean, it's awful. It's a terrible thing to go through.
Sure. Speaking about walking you through.
You don't remember a doggone thing of it because you're just in shock the entire time.
Right, exactly.
So when I was running half marathons or whatever, I would get up in the mornings and do longer runs on Saturday and Sunday just to train or whatever. And right across the Fremont Bridge on the Nickerson Street side was a funeral home, but also one of the cremation places in Seattle. Now, on Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings, man, I mean, it was like you would just see plumes of smoke blowing out of there right by the old Pawnee Seafood Grill.
Yeah.
But I was always running in that area. So there's a trail on the other side of the canal. Sometimes I would be running up from, like, Seattle U or Pacific, whatever it is. But there's this just huge cloud. And then you run through and you smell it. Like, oh, dead people.
Does it smell like dead people?
It smells, the smoke is
it's a different
got
kind of
the
smoke.
Most unique. It's like, just get me out of this cloud. And they just kept rolling it, man. Like, every hour, it was just a different poof. And some of the smoke was bigger and blacker than others. Some was just like a little trickle. Other times, it was like, I think that place is on fire. And then it wasn't. And then they just keep the process going all morning long.
There was a guy years ago, his body, because he was so, so fat, he ended up burning down. It didn't entirely burn down, but they had to shut down the crematorium for a while to put out the fire because all the fat in his body, basically, when it heated up, I mean, it's like bacon fat, man. Think about that. And this stuff splatters, and they're like, the crematorium
it's a grease
is
fire.
On fire. It is.
It's a grease fire.
Because of Jeff there.
What wasn't your responsibility but became your responsibility? 206-803-ROCK.
It's not supposed to be funny, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an actual thing that happened. Dude started crying.
Blast him one more time, Steve. Yeah, I mean, like... I mean, you're barbecuing someone. What's the problem about putting them in the back of a pickup truck on ice?
You know, that's a good point.
I mean, seriously.
You just have to be a professional.
I mean, if you were floating around after you died and you saw that your body did that, wouldn't you laugh a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, be like, oh, wow.
Wow.
One last hurrah.
Email the guys at the men's room at mensroomlive.com and get you some Men's Room IPA beer brats. They're available now at Uli's Famous Sausage.
All right, time for a little Your Guess is as Good as Mine. It's an easy game to play. You pick from one of two categories and try to get as many right in said category before three strikes and you're out. So, Steve, who is ready to play Your Guess is as Good as Mine?
Hello, Christian. Welcome to the Men's Room.
What's up?
Hola. Christian, welcome to the program. Your Guess is as Good as Mine. Our categories today, we have the best airlines here in the United States of America. They compared the nine largest U.S. airlines and one regional carrier across 13 metrics: cost, delays, cancellations, injuries, entertainment options, and legroom. So basically, if you pick that category, you're only going to have to get 9 out of the 10. You can try to guess a regional character or a carrier at the end if you want, but I mean, that's kind of hard to do. And then we have the 10 coolest cities in the U.S. and Canada. They say there are 8 ways to measure if a city is cool and has a little urban hipness. The metrics are based on arts and cultural scene, lifestyles, recreation, dining and nightlife, trendiness, and media coverage. So, do you want to go with the coolest cities in the U.S. and Canada? One is from Canada, 9 are from the United States, or the best airlines in America?
Well, I'll tell you what, I've lived in Seattle all my life. I'd like to try living somewhere else, so maybe I want to hear about some cool cities today.
Okay, coolest cities it is.
Cool cities.
All right, Christian, you know the game is played. There are 10 of the hippest, coolest cities on the North American continent. Your clue is only one is in Canada. Everything else is here in the United States.
All right, well, I'm going to try for the easy one and go for New York City.
That's number one. That's how you play the game. Yeah, they say it's got all the stuff.
Problem is New York is so big with so many people.
It's got everything.
Right.
Right.
That's why it's cool to... Cool.
They don't have a good football team.
According to yesterday, they do.
Well, maybe every once in
a moment.
Yeah, they got a moment.
Yeah, too soon.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Austin, a big up-and-coming one.
Austin, not on the list.
Wow. I'm actually really surprised by that.
To
be honest with you, I would go bigger cities on this one. Sort of. For the most part.
Okay. Bigger. Then let's go L.A.?
Los Angeles is number 3, Christian. The third coolest city in America. Whatever that is. They have more beaches, I guess. I mean.
But is it more traditional?
What do you mean?
Like, when you go to Austin, like, I think that's a very cool city. A lot of cool people. The vibes are high.
But it's like modern cool.
But no, I'm just saying, I also feel like people are like, I got to go to New York City. It's so cool.
Yeah.
And then L.A. is number 2.
L.A. is 3 on the list.
But, all right, I'm just saying second.
Yeah, gotcha.
So, I mean, I would think Vegas would be on there.
Chicago, D.C.
Let's go Chicago.
Number 7. Chicago, the 7th coolest city in North America.
I like Chicago. I don't know if it's cool, but I like it.
Yeah.
It is that.
Let's add San Francisco to the list.
Number 4.
Yeah.
That's how we play the game.
Christian, it should be cool for as much as it costs.
You want to try it for Canada?
Oh.
Man, I would think really it's Vancouver.
See, I would think Montreal.
I really want to see Vancouver, BC. I'm going to go Vancouver.
Well, don't listen to me.
I only think Montreal because everybody from any walk, like, doesn't matter what color you are, whatever. Everybody I know that goes to Montreal loves it.
And Quebec City, for that matter.
Neither Montreal or Toronto, but I'm going to hold that one for a second. Let's go to Miami.
Miami, not a bad guess. That's your third strike.
Yeah.
No Miami. Damn. All right, I'm going to guess D.C.
D.C.'s number 2.
All right.
As far as the coolest cities in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Because, look, if you're not from D.C. and all of those things are free to you.
Yeah.
Think about it. If you live there, you're kind of like, it is what like,
also,
you live anyway.
Also, right? Arts and culture. So when you think of all the museums, all that stuff.
How about Toronto, Miles?
Toronto is number 6. That's our Canadian representative there.
I would argue, like Toronto.
But, you know, when you look at the world-class, quote-unquote, cities, typically there's only one that shows up on the North American continent, and that's Vancouver.
Vancouver, yeah.
So I don't know what they're... And Victoria's cool, too, but either way.
I don't think Vancouver's big enough to me to be, like, a major world city.
It is. Oh, yeah. I mean, it is considered, it absolutely is. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
Huge. Like, Stanley Park is bigger than
Central Park
in New York.
But
what about population?
I would have to think
like
it's
3 million?
Maybe the second biggest outside of Toronto?
I think it's the second biggest to Toronto, yeah.
Dare
San
I say
Diego.
Seattle?
Seattle will be on there.
Seattle's number 8.
Yeah. All right.
10 coolest cities in the United States and Canada. So far, Seattle, Chicago, Toronto, San Francisco, L.A., D.C., and New York City.
Which one that you just said there, Steve?
There are 3 left.
I said San Diego. You guys want to roll with that or not? I don't know if it's considered like cool, but I like San Diego.
It's cool.
Right?
I mean, everybody likes San Diego.
All right, San Diego. Son of a...
No.
I like San Diego.
We're not
How about
cool.
Nashville?
Nashville.
Damn!
All right.
Any places in Florida, Miles?
No. Not a one.
Florida.
Can we go back to the Northeast?
It wouldn't matter because they won't be there next weekend.
Yeah, no kidding.
What about
Miles,
Boston?
Northeast?
Boston. Number 9.
All right.
Thank you, Ted.
There is.
I just stole your thunder. Yeah. That's all that was.
There's one. There's one East Coast city left. There's one West Coast city left.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia is number 10 as all far right. as being the coolest city in the U.S. or one of them.
And one more. Portland.
Portland, Oregon.
Dang. They beat us.
They beat us by 3 spots. God, yes.
Got it. Boo.
Well,
that doesn't sit well with me.
Look, we were talking about this earlier. We know people who live there and love it, and people who live there and go
and
like,
absolutely hate it. Yeah.
After you do the things that there are to do, there's nothing else to do.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah, that was. We know somebody who lives there. I'm like, well, how do you like it? And they're like, man, honestly, I hate it. They've been there for like 6 years. Like, for real? Like, why? And they said, look,
because they used to be here.
Well. They used to be here, but they do make the point. They go like, look, Portland and Seattle have a lot of similarities, but one thing that Seattle has in droves that Portland basically has none of is industry.
Oh, sure.
Right? So, but that ends up paying for so many other little things that we get to take advantage of. It's like, in Portland, man, there's just nothing.
Not unless you're like a strip club guy. But
sure.
I mean, after a while, you're like, okay, whatever.
Okay.
Strip club, I will say, I always say this about strip clubs, right? Like, I do think when you're in cities like Portland or Atlanta or Dallas, where it's much more of a culture, like people will go there to watch sports as well.
Right.
You know what I mean? As opposed to just in Seattle, where it's like, all right, let's go stare at her boobs before she asks us for a dance because we can't have a drink.
So strip clubs in those cities are more like Rainforest Cafe. Look, yeah. I'm here for the food, but then on the side, there's this thing that can distract me for a couple of minutes.
Like a gorilla popping out of the wall.
Right, but instead, it's a pair of boots.
Hey, I mean, I've watched college football in the A-crop, and then I've been thrown out of a strip club in Seattle for being like, will you please put on college football?
Oh, because
they threw you out?
For that?
Yeah.
Hey, man, stare at the girls on the screen.
They have a TV in there.
It's correct. It's 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
It was like, you know that was not my idea. Somebody we used to work
for. Oh, I can guess who it is.
Right. And it was Ohio State, Texas. I remember to this day. So you know me. I'm like, there's one goddamn goal today. It's to watch that game.
Is this the same guy that offered to take Miles golfing?
Yep.
And then
yep.
you get there and you find out that he had stolen the golf cart and you couldn't play the first hole.
No, he had to be chased around.
We're talking about World City. But all I was saying about Vancouver is, like, to me, when you think of worldwide cities, right, there's only a few of them. There's Paris, right?
Mm-hmm. London, Hong Kong.
Tokyo, right? London, Hong Kong. And then to me, there's like New York City, maybe San Fran here, like Mexico City.
Sure.
Sydney, you know, probably.
Right. So like, I love Vancouver. I just don't think it gets that same kind of spotlight as like those, like, you know what I mean?
The established world-class cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, there's only so many of them.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Send the men's room a mushy love letter at the men's room at mensroomlive.com and scoop up some delicious men's room roasted red salsa at your favorite store.
What is the interesting tidbit about a relationship or family member? 206-803-1.
Sorry, posting. I'm saying.
Commanders.
Huh? Exactly, right? Hello, Matt. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, first off, I want to say I've actually been listening to you guys on the radio since about 2008 when I joined the Army.
Oh, so, wow.
Damn.
Well, thank you, man. We appreciate that.
Congratulations on making it this long.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, trust me. We're hyper aware of that.
It sounds like you're still in battle right now.
Kind of. I'm battling traffic on I-90. So.
Okay. Yeah.
No, it's up.
So what's my story here is, growing up, we had a friend of the family, and I knew she was family, but nobody could really explain to me as a kid where she fit into the family. There was never a name given into it, like aunt, cousin, or anything.
Were they evasive about it, or did they just say, hey, this is Jenny, she's part of the family, and that's it?
It was just little Elizabeth, and when I asked how she was related, they just kind of, it was more like they didn't know how to really explain it to a kid.
Okay.
So once I became an adult, I had a family member finally explain it to me, and so my dad had a wife way before my existence. And he had two daughters with her, and then they got divorced, and his ex-wife turned around and married his father.
Whoa, wait, say that again. I'm sorry, man.
My dad's wife divorced him after having two children with him, and then married his dad.
Oh, wow. Jeez, man.
That's heavy.
And then they had a child together, and that's where little Elizabeth came in.
Huh. So technically, have you done the research to figure, is she your half-sister?
I think technically she would be like a
three-fourths sister,
I think.
Okay,
great. But it's all,
I gotta ask, was Thanksgiving weird?
We never really spent that much time around that part of the family, like as a family.
Well, I can see things might get a little dicey. Hey, Mike, can you do research for us? I just want to make sure I get this right again. So, it was your stepmother divorced your dad?
Well, it would have been if I was alive.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, stepmom divorces his dad. She marries his grandfather. Then grandpa and stepmom have a daughter.
Child. Yes, correct.
What is the caller's relation technically to the daughter of stepmom?
You're gonna need
and
a
grandpa.
You're gonna need a grandpa.
So my thing here is that given that she was a stepmom in the first place, divorced dad, therefore that kind of eliminates
that.
Stepmom. So then she marries grandpa, making her basically step grandma.
Correct.
Conceiving a child would make that step aunt, I guess.
Okay. Man, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
What is the interesting tidbit about a relationship or a family member? 206-803-ROCK.
Yeah, there's enough people out in the world.
This just sounds terrible, but I'm like, all right, look, man, I'm going to go home and tell my wife, look, I'm going to sleep with your mom or maybe like one of your aunts or something and have a kid just so our kids can try to explain to their friends how they're related.
Yeah, that's why.
Actually, it's
for science.
I suppose it wouldn't be a step aunt because that would, you know, there'd be his step grandma and his grandfather conceiving a child. It's not a step relative.
Right,
because
now it's
a blood relative. So that's just
aunt?
His aunt.
All right, there you go. Okay. All that just to get an aunt.
Yeah.
Right. Man, oh man.
What's like the age where it's like Miles, you were saying, like, you grew up like with that family, but like, I don't know. I mean, like, if my mom got married now to a guy, I'm 43.
Sure.
And he has a daughter that's 40. Like, I don't know him. That's fine, right?
Go have sex with your stepsister.
Hanging out with your stepsister?
Yeah.
I think at that age,
well, stepsister.
Hell
no,
yeah.
No.
If you grow up with them, it's weird.
If you meet your step-sibling after 18, it's game on.
Game on, man. Absolutely. Yeah, I think you can do that. I think it's only weird if you grow up together and I've regarded you as my sister. That is how I see you. Then I go, That's weird. But like you said, Ted, your mom's like, hey, I'm getting married. He has a daughter. Daughter's hot. You're both 43. Like,
I'm kind of going through this myself. My other than the attraction part of it, but my dad got remarried, and his wife had three children that are since married off to their own spouses and whatnot. So it's like, technically, by law, they're my step siblings, but
not by Mike's law.
No, they're my dad's wife's kids.
Like, this is the movie Step Brothers, right? If they're both gay, they can't hook up in the movie. I'm sorry.
Yes, you can.
Because you put brother on that. As soon as you,
I don't know if they would have called it Step Brothers.
Once you put sister or brother in any form or fashion, half brother, step brother,
that is not true. As a black man, I'm going to tell you that is not true.
I'm telling you right
I will have sex with a sister. Shame my sister, but a sister is a sister.
But you know what I mean.
Well, there's step bro porn all over this.
Once you say brother or sister in any way, no matter what you add to it, you can't.
I disagree.
Oh, man.
I'm with Ted on this one.
Yeah.
As mom gets married and you know, you go to the wedding, right? And you meet stepdads. I don't even know if you call them stepdad at that point. You say my mom's husband, but
correct.
You meet your quote unquote stepsister. She's 43. She's divorced, man. She's looking for a rebound. I'd be like, Ted, go get that, man.
Right. I think it'd be a funny story.
Okay.
I'd tell people.
It'd be funny as hell.
Look at how we met. My mom married her dad.
Now you know all the states are they're trying to pull a Pornhub off of their, you can't even look at it, right?
Yeah.
If you look at the front page of Pornhub, not that I have, but if you do, 80% of that content is stepbrother, stepsister relationships. Now, is it real? Obviously not.
No.
The role playing involved is. Do I watch those videos? No. And the reason is because I can't get past it. I can't get past the fact that even if they're acting, so what you're saying is...
Are you kidding me?
You would act
You can't
on,
get past it?
I can't get past the fact.
Oh, screw that. If there's an actress I find attractive, I don't care what the role play... Like, I'll watch it.
If it says racist Klan rally orgy...
Great.
But the chicks are hot, I'm in.
So I'm on the front page, Miles. There's not a lot of step stuff.
There's not?
Did you look that up on the company computer?
Yeah.
That's the best place to do it. Hey, we did it for you got audio.
Tell you what, if you hear this right now, this is not...
Natasha Nice, though, got a delightful...
Natasha Nice.
Natasha Nice.
Are you logged in? I mean, to your own personal...
Honestly, I don't have a Pornhub account.
I don't either.
I barely
You don't
use
need
it.
One. It's free, man. Like, if you have an account, I don't know what rabbit hole you're going down.
I bring it up all the time.
There's comment sections.
Well, you watch.
What?
There's comment sections.
I don't need to comment.
We know what the comments are going
to
be.
To masturbate. When I'm done masturbating, I'm out. I don't like what...
I run in shame. Like
wonderful video.
Oh, hey, but this guy ends up...
Five stores.
Mike, this guy ends up buying a condo. So he had sex with a realtor.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just great business practice.
No, that's called... real estate business.
There's a lot of that porn, too.
Oh, don't think for one minute.
Real estate porn.
Well, for me, it's a double fantasy. A, I own a home, and B, I get to sleep with the realtor.
Hey, nothing wrong with that unless his name's Jeff.
Need to learn more about general men's room shenanigans? Just visit the men's room page at KISW.com. This is the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Time to open wide and sample Ted's meat and potatoes. Now, here's your host, head chef of the men's room. The Ted Nugent.
Head chef in the house.
Thank you, folks. Thank you. Per tradition here in the restaurant, because it's game day, I didn't have to put on my jacket. I'm just wearing my jersey.
I got you, man.
Yeah. Good work. Thanks to our newest sous chef, Miles Montgomery, for an assist on this list.
Nice. They do wear the Seahawks jerseys when you go to the bars. It's like the one day that the servers are allowed to wear something different.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like we like Marco Polo, right? Mm-hmm. Down in like Soto or whatever, Georgetown. Mm-hmm. Not notorious, but it's a Coug bar. But the one guy that works there, I forget his name, he's a Husky. He has like a purple Marco Polo shirt. There's only like two of them and he's allowed to wear it if the Huskies are playing.
Oh, nice.
Jen. I think that's Brad.
Yeah, I always like when you go to a restaurant and they're wearing jerseys.
See, my problem with that is I'm afraid I'm going to spill food on it and ruin my jersey.
Right, being
a server more than, you know, just eating.
Well, I will say this. When you go to restaurants where the staff and everything on game day is wearing jerseys, I mean, whatever sports bar it is, I don't think most of them are wearing the authentic ones.
No. Probably not, yeah.
All right, so these are surprisingly recent invented foods. Let's see, where do we start here? Now, this one, a lot of people get thrown off by it because it's a classic staple now in Germany. Currywurst.
Oh, okay.
Late night snack. It was invented in 1949 in Germany.
Hmm.
But I think because of curry, you think India.
Are you turning the corner on curry?
I enjoy an amount of curry.
Okay. Because I know before you were anti-curry.
I was anti-curry for a long time. Like I wouldn't even let people leave the leftovers in my fridge.
Oh, really? Damn.
Yeah. But there is... I'm getting miles. I'm warming up to it.
Okay.
But yeah, curry worst. It's mainly just the ketchup that's got the... Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's like a late night snack. You get some chips with it. Let's go down to Mexico. 1940. They said, the hell with these taco shells. Let's make nachos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good. Huh. All right. Huh.
I know.
You think somebody dropped like all the taco shells in the ground?
So, like, so nachos were actually invented in Mexico.
They were.
That sounds to me like something that TGI Fridays would invent.
I just assumed
like
it was our version.
Well, a lot of what we think is Mexican food is basically almost Tex-Mex.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And then, yeah, like the, Miles, what do you love? The fried burrito or whatever.
Chimichanga.
I mean, that was invented by somebody, I want to say, in either New Mexico or Arizona because they dropped it in the fry.
I bet we invented the Mexican pizza.
Yeah!
You know?
Thrill, you might have brought this up earlier. It was invented in Italy, but spaghetti carbonara, 1944.
Oh, nice. Okay. All right.
Yeah. That's a great dish.
The Brits in the 40s gave us the apple crumble.
All right, Brits. Hey, good for you, man. Because most of your food, I mean, is god awful.
Mike, I know we both tried this for the first time on the air. What's one Indian dish we both enjoy? Not tandoori chicken.
Oh, I know what it is.
I do too.
Butter chicken?
Butter chicken.
Invented in India in the 50s.
All right.
It's that recent.
Yep.
God, that is good, that man. Is that should be, though, if you've never eaten Indian food, just start there.
Start with that.
Start there and then expand your palate.
It's like the Philly roll with
you
sushi.
You might not ever go back. I mean, you might stick with that all the way, but still.
So it's funny you bring up sushi. Umamakri? Uramaki? Basically, like, think of like a standard like California roll or whatever. Okay. Sushi. That was invented in America in the 60s.
Okay. Yeah, right? I believe that.
Salmon sushi, though, ironically, 1980s, Norway.
Really?
Well, it makes sense there. Not the sushi part.
I'm just saying, you never hear, I don't personally hear, and I know Japan has a huge fishing industry, but I never hear salmon brought up.
Correct. They love tuna.
Tuna, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the 70s, here in the States, we invented General Tso's chicken.
All right. The General.
Yeah.
The General.
Yeah. In 1975, they said, hey, as long as we're making up stuff, how about pasta primavera?
Okay. Damn.
Yeah.
75.
American.
Those poor 60s people.
What about the, I always forget, is it Donair? I call it Donner, but I believe it's Donair kebab sandwich. There is a real Donair shop down in Belltown now in my old building.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where that comes from?
I just assumed Turkey. Germany.
Germany.
Yeah. All Germany.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
All about that sausage.
Well, the kebab, though, is like lamb and beef.
But that came out of Germany, the lamb and beef?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
okay,
the Germans.
Just Turkey.
Let's see. What else is on the list that's kind of interesting? From the French, chocolate fondant shows up in 81.
Okay. Really?
No kidding.
Yep.
You know what? That game changer.
Yeah, because that just changed the world of cakes, right?
Yeah.
It absolutely did, yeah.
Taiwan gave us two dishes that I don't really associate with them. Mongolian beef or Mongolian barbecue in 1951.
Uh-huh.
And then in the 80s, they were like bubble tea.
You can keep that.
I've had it one time. It's bubble.
But you have to chew those little balls, right?
You do. But I'm used to that.
Don't.
Bubble tea, boba tea, are they the same thing as a bowl tapioca ball?
They give you a big fat straw.
Yeah. Oh, Christ, I don't know. But right? I see people love it. Obviously, I hate it. That's why I'm saying it like that. Chicken tikka masala?
Oh!
1970s in Britain.
Really?
Yes. Damn.
Britain did it again. You sons of bitches.
I've always heard if you want the best Indian food in the world,
go to
one of the British Isles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, you get some great Jamaican food there, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was a mass influx of Jamaicans that end up there over in England and stuff.
Okay.
I'm obsessed lately with the white Jamaican guy who, or he's white, he's English, but he's, yeah. Paul, like, he's wild. Dreadlocks. It's crazy. Carpaccio.
Oh, Carpaccio, yeah.
Yeah. Italy, 1963. Miles Witter, you're in Thrill's favorite bread for a sandwich. 1982.
Sourdough. Not ciabatta. Yeah, ciabatta. Oh.
The Italians made ciabatta.
Oh! That's the worst food they've ever come up with.
The Brits also gave us sticky toffee pudding in the 60s.
Okay.
The Italians in the 60s came up with tiramisu. And then, as long as we're sticking with kind of desserts, the last one on the list, 1980s, the United States blended ice coffees.
Oh, okay. I want a sticky sausage.
A sticky sausage. I got one.
Well, it's in syrup.
Sure. Head Chef, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Shot of the Day's coming up. You are listening to The Men's Room.
Reach out to The Men's Room on the socials, at Men's Room Live, and enjoy the new Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing.
Game is Big Dummy, 206.
I don't want to be that old yet.
Hello, Blake. Welcome to The Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola. Blake, are you sober or not sober?
Scared me, Ted. 13 years in December.
Oh, congratulations.
You're 13 years old. Welcome to the program. Are you sober or not sober?
Sober. 13 years in December.
Aha. Gotcha. Okay. What is named after you? You taking the disease, jail, the dump, or a rehab center?
Rehab center.
Rehab it is. Good call.
I mean, 13 years, he could actually just run it.
It works for you.
Not bad. It's 25 throw. Okay, we've corrected it. I know. I apologize. Goodness. All right, your question. In the movie Ghostbusters, what instrument does Dana play?
What instrument?
What instrument?
Ooh. I'm going to guess saxophone.
That would be the cello.
The cello. Cello.
That's how my dad answers the phone. Cello.
Cello.
Cello. That would be kind of funny knowing your dad if he answered the phone like that.
Cello.
Hey, man.
What's up?
All right, Jim.
All right. Expect that out of you, but I like it. How many cups of coffee you have?
All right, your question. What is the name of the oven for cooking pottery?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I think the clay oven, right?
Well, it's an oven.
You
create things out of clay, and then, as I remember, in elementary school, they then took your clay product.
You put it in there, and it gets hard.
And put it in this oven, yes.
Kill him. You got it. Kill. I know. Nice job, Blake.
But there are clay ovens in certain cultures to cook, right?
Right, but you don't cook clay, yeah.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of. Naan bread, tandoori chicken.
I think it's just the oven itself is tandoor. Yeah.
Tandoor, yeah.
Oh.
Game is Big Dummy 206-803 round.
Big Dummy!
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room. God damn, how many mics have called today?
I'm running a special right now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Only one. This is the second one.
You sure?
We've had a bunch of Matthews. Yes, we've had three Matts.
What's with the mic hate over here?
Sorry, Mike.
Mike, are you sober or not sober?
Sober.
Sober. All right, Mike. Oh, Mike. Welcome to Big Dummy. Okay, what is named after you, Mike? Disease, jail, dump, or rehab?
We'll do rehab, so I have something good for myself later on in life that is named after me.
All right. Fair enough.
All right, Mike of Mike's Rehab. Your question, what was Marilyn Monroe's natural hair color? Which we all found out when she stood on the subway van. I'll be damned.
Brunette?
Redhead, right?
Red.
Yeah, man.
Oh, she was a ginger.
Mm-hmm.
And ginger, too.
All right, your question, what is Neo's actual name in the film The Matrix? Oddly enough, it's the same name as a comedic actor.
No. I don't have no clue.
I remember his last name better than the first. It's not Thomas Anderson?
Mr. Anderson. Right. It's Anthony Anderson.
Anthony Anderson.
It's like the actor?
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Keanu Reeves, Anthony Anderson, they look alike.
God, that would be a different movie.
If Anthony Anderson played Neo. listen, y'all, I don't know what's going on.
It'd be a lot more screaming.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't think I'm doing that, man. I ain't jumping off that building. I mean, just because you said I can fly does not mean a brother can fly. So I'm going to go ahead and take the stairs down.
Ironically, most of Neo's clothes are blackish.
Yeah. They are, in fact, but it all comes full circle.
Wow.
All right, your question. You're right, man. He never wore anything other than all black.
Morpheus, where do you get the glasses?
Those are actually pretty stylish.
Hook a man up.
Yeah.
You think Neo was actually kind of chubby? We just didn't know it because he's just always in black?
He's wearing Spanx and all black trench coat.
It's very slimming. Can't see my beer gut. I learned it from the Batman. Yeah, that's why I couldn't bridge the gap there.
Yeah, right.
It's because I didn't believe.
And I'm kind of heavy.
All right.
Your red pill made me hungry.
This steak isn't real, but doggone it, it's delicious. Can I get some of that fake A1? All right, your question. In the movie Speed, dropping below what speed would blow up the bus?
Oh, I think it was like 65?
62.
50.
Oh.
It's a nice even number.
Wow.
All right, your question. What is the capital of Austria?
Ooh.
Yeah, dang it.
With you, dude.
Hey, they've been named sausages after this
place.
Okay,
I was right.
Not sausages you want to eat, but, you know. What is that?
Frankfurt sausage. I don't know.
Bratwurst.
Vienna. Vienna.
Great. Vienna. Oh, I do like Vienna sausages.
You like Vienna sausages?
Heck yeah, I was born in Florida, son.
It's a state flower.
That's fair.
All right, Florida Mike, your question. What year saw the opening of the first Starbucks?
96.
Oh, why? Before 1971.
Ooh, been around for a while. Question six.
Question number six. Who was the host of The Tonight Show after Johnny Carson?
David Letterman.
Jay Leno.
Jay Leno. All right, your question. Who was the host of The Tonight Show after Jay Leno, but before Jimmy Fallon?
Jay Leno again.
Wait, say it again real quick.
Who was the host of The Tonight Show after Jay Leno, but before Jimmy Fallon? So Jay Leno, quote-unquote, quit.
There was one more after that.
But there's two.
There's two after.
Two.
Yeah. Because remember, somebody else got the job, and then basically Jay Leno said, I want it back.
Correct.
And then Fallon.
Then Jimmy Fallon. So it's this person, Jay Leno, Jimmy Fallon.
Well, technically, okay. Jay Leno, this
Come
person, Jay Leno again. Right.
Jimmy. And then Jimmy Fallon. Technicality. Right. Who's the other person?
But he's well, who still is the person between... before Jimmy Fallon is not the correct answer. That'd be Jay Leno.
Right. Okay. So who was after Jay Leno, but before Jimmy Fallon, and then also before Jay Leno?
Right.
Tony.
Yes, there we go. All right, now we're tracking.
Email the guys at themensroom@mensroomlive.com and get you some Men's Room IPA beer brats. They're available now at Uli's Famous Sausage.
All right, have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the Men's Room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast an unidentified 59-year-old man from New York City, New York. Now, he called an ambulance after getting a tight jaw and tingling in his hands. And doctors were baffled by his symptoms, but they feared that he had a severe case of sepsis. But a battery test it revealed that he'd suffered a tear in his aorta. That's the body's largest artery that carries blood from the heart to the body. But the result in a severe aortic regurgitation is what's called. It's a medical emergency where the blood flows backwards into the heart. So it goes without saying that he would have died had the doctors not figured out what it was and then did whatever it is they had to do. Now, in theory, we should be toasting the doctors for the quick thinking, but we're toasting the patient today because of what led to his medical emergency. Vigorous masturbation, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. He was beating that thing like it owed him money, and it ended up kind of reversing his blood course back into his heart.
Wow. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. They had to ask him, like, what did you do? And he's like, it's the only thing I can think of. They're like, that's it.
Well, try to kill me that way.
I know. Making me scared to masturbate. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy.
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Oh, man.
A Double Flush production.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Reach out to the Men's Room on the socials, at Men's Room Live, and enjoy the new Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing.
Game is Big Dummy, 206.
I don't want to be that old yet.
Hello, Blake. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola. Blake, are you sober or not sober?
Scared me, Ted.
13 years in December.
Oh, congratulations.
You're 13 years old. Welcome to the program. Are you sober or not sober?
Sober, 13 years in December.
Aha, gotcha. Okay. What is named after you? You taking the disease, jail, the dump, or a rehab center?
Rehab center.
Rehab it is. Good call.
I mean, 13 years, he could actually just run it.
It works for you.
Yeah.
Not bad. It's 25 throw. Okay, we've corrected it. I know. I apologize. Goodness. All right, your question. In the movie Ghostbusters, what instrument does Dana play?
What instrument?
What instrument?
Ooh. I'm going to guess saxophone.
That would be the cello.
The cello. Oh, cello. That's how my dad answers the phone. Cello.
Cello.
Cello. That would be kind of funny knowing your dad if he answered the phone like that.
Cello.
Hey, man.
What's up?
All right, Jim. All right. Expect that out of you, but I like it. How many cups of coffee you had?
All right, your question. What is the name of the oven for cooking pottery?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
The clay oven, right?
Well, it's an oven.
You
create things out of clay, and then... As I remember, in elementary school, they then took
your
clay product.
You put it in there and it gets hard.
And put it in this oven, yes.
Kill.
You got it. Kill. I know. Nice job, Blake.
But there are clay ovens in certain cultures to cook, right?
Right. But you don't cook clay,
That's exactly what I'm thinking of. Naan bread, tandoori chicken.
I think it's just the oven itself is tandoor.
Yeah. Tandoor, yeah.
Oh.
Game is Big Dummy 206-803 round.
Big Dummy!
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the Men's Room. God damn, how many Mikes have called today?
I'm running a special right now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Only one. This is the second one.
You sure?
We've had a bunch of Matthews. Yes, we've had three Matts.
What's with the Mike hate over here?
Sorry, Mike.
Mike, are you sober or not sober?
Sober.
Sober. All right, Mike. Welcome to Big Dummy. Okay, what is named after you, Mike? Disease, jail, dump, or rehab?
We'll do rehab, so I have something good for myself later on in life that is named after me.
All right. Fair enough.
All right, Mike of Mike's Rehab. Your question, what was Marilyn Monroe's natural hair color? Which we all found out when she stood on the subway vent. I'll be damned.
Brunette?
Redhead, right?
Red.
Yeah, man. Oh, she was a ginger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ginger, too.
All right, your question, what is Neo's actual name in the film The Matrix? Oddly enough, it's the same name as a comedic actor.
No. I don't have no clue.
I remember his last name better than the first. It's not Thomas Anderson?
Mr. Anderson. Right. It's Anthony Anderson.
Anthony Anderson. It's like the actor?
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Keanu Reeves, Anthony Anderson, they look alike.
God, that would be a different movie.
If Anthony Anderson played Neo. listen, y'all, I don't know what's going on.
Be a lot more screaming.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't think I'm doing that, man. I ain't jumping off that building. I mean, just because you said I can fly does not mean a brother can fly. So I'm going to go ahead and take the stairs down.
ironically, most of Neo's clothes are blackish.
They are, in fact, black. It all comes full circle.
Wow.
All right, your question. You're right, man. He never wore anything other than all black.
Morpheus, where do you get the glasses?
Those are actually pretty stylish.
Hook a man up.
Yeah.
You think Neo is actually kind of chubby? We just didn't know it because he's just always in black.
He's wearing Spanx and all black trench coat.
It's very slimming. Can't see my beer gut. I learned it from the Batman. Yeah, that's why I couldn't bridge the gap there.
Yeah, right.
It's because I didn't believe. And I'm kind of heavy.
All right. Your red pill made me hungry.
This steak isn't real, but doggone it, it's delicious. Can I get some of that fake A1?
All right, your question. In the movie Speed, dropping below what speed would blow up the bus?
Oh, I think it was like 65?
62.
50.
Oh.
It's a nice, even number.
Wow.
All right, your question. What is the capital of Austria?
Ooh.
Yeah, dang it.
With you, dude.
Hey, they've been named sausages after this
okay,
place.
Okay, I was right.
Not sausages you want to eat, but, you know. What is that?
Frankfurt sausage. I don't know.
Bratwurst.
Vienna. Oh, Vienna.
Great. Vienna. Oh, I do like Vienna sausages.
You like Vienna sausages?
Heck yeah, I was born in Florida, son.
It's a state flower.
That's fair.
All right, Florida Mike, your question. What year saw the opening of the first Starbucks?
96.
Oh, wow, before 1971.
Ooh, been around for a while. Question six.
Question number six. Who was the host of The Tonight Show after Johnny Carson?
David Letterman.
Jay Leno.
All right, your question. Who was the host of The Tonight Show after Jay Leno, but before Jimmy Fallon?
Jay Leno again?
Wait, say it again real quick.
Who was the host of The Tonight Show after Jay Leno, but before Jimmy Fallon? So Jay Leno, quote-unquote, quit.
There was one more after that.
But there's two.
There's two after.
Two.
Yeah. Because remember, somebody else got the job, and then basically Jay Leno said, I want it back.
Correct.
And then Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon. So this person, Jay Leno, Jimmy Fallon.
Well, technically, okay. Jay Leno, this
Come
person, Jay Leno again, right.
Jimmy. And then Jimmy Fallon. Get the man on a technicality. Right. Who's the other person?
But well, who is the person between... before Jimmy Fallon is not the correct answer. That'd be Jay Leno.
Right. Okay, so who was after Jay Leno, but before Jimmy Fallon, and then also before Jay Leno?
Yes.
Tony.
Yes, there we go. All right, now we're tracking.
Email the guys at the men's room at mensroomlive.com and get you some men's room IPA beer brats. They're available now at Uli's Famous Sausage.
All right, have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk. And Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast an unidentified 59-year-old man from New York City, New York. Now, he called an ambulance after getting a tight jaw and tingling in his hands. And doctors were baffled by his symptoms, but they feared that he had a severe case of sepsis. But a battery test it revealed that he'd suffered a tear in his aorta. That's the body's largest artery that carries blood from the heart to the body. But the result in a severe aortic regurgitation is what's called. It's a medical emergency where the blood flows backwards into the heart. So it goes without saying that he would have died had the doctors not figured out what it was and then did whatever it is they had to do. Now, in theory, we should be toasting the doctors for the quick thinking, but we're toasting the patient today because of what led to his medical emergency. Vigorous masturbation, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. He was beating that thing like it owed him money, and it ended up kind of reversing his blood course, back into his heart.
Wow. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. They had to ask him, like, what did you do? And he's like, it's the only thing I can think of. They're like, that's it.
But try to kill me that way.
I know. Making me scared to masturbate. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy.
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Oh, man.
A Double Flush production.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.